Spannendes und Aktuelles aus der Pharmazie, das ist der Akpharm Podcast. Herzlich willkommen, schön sind Sie da. Heute befassen wir uns mit dem Thema Biosimilars, was im klinischen Alltag beachtet werden muss und wie der Einsatz von Biosimilars gefördert werden kann. Mein Name ist Simon Wittmer, ich bin Apothekerin und Kursorganisatorin bei Akpharm. Mir gegenüber sitzt Professor Pascal Bonabré. Er ist Chefapotheker im Universitätsspital Genf-Hüsch und hat sehr viel Erfahrung im Umgang mit Biosimilars. Schön, dass Sie da sind und sich die Zeit nehmen für das heutige Gespräch. Wir führen das Gespräch auf Englisch und wechseln nun die Sprache. Welcome to the discussion about the topic biosimilar implementation in everyday clinical work with Professor Pascal Bonabré. My name is Simon Wittmer. I'm educational training organizer at ACFAM and will moderate today's discussion. Biologicals are very expensive medications which increase the cost of the already very expensive Swiss health system. Today, a wide range of biosimilars are approved. Unfortunately, the biosimilars are not everywhere used very often in today's medication. So even though they are much more cost-effective and approved since years with very positive experiences. In the University Hospital of Geneva, shortly called the Hüsch, they switched to a large extent to biosimilars. And we will now discuss with Professor Pascal Bonabré this topic and focus on his practical experience with the use of biosimilars. Professor Pascal Bonabré is chief pharmacist in the Hüsch and has a broad long-term expertise in handling of biologicals and biosimilars. Hello, Mr. Bonabré, and thank you for sharing with us the most important points to consider for a switch from an originator to a biosimilar. So thank you that you are here. So let's start with the first question. So in Hüsch, you are using mainly biosimilars, as I already said. So can you please shortly explain the journey of the last years that you did in achieving this this change to the biosimilars in the hospital? So what did you do and what is your experience?
Yeah, so first of all, I must say that we were convinced since the beginning of the story, so since these molecules arrived on the market, we have directly seen that there was a great interest to use them in our hospital. So we tried to document ourselves. We read a lot of publications. We were following what was going on at the European level, because there was already discussion at the European level maybe a few years before the Switzerland. And then we directly started to discuss with physicians, because those physicians also had some discussion in their congresses. For example, rheumatologists had discussion in their national or international congresses, so it was also a topic of discussion on their side, and we started very soon to discuss with them. And yeah, a few years later, I must say that we have a high rate of adoption today, going from around 70 to 100% of adoption rate for the different biosimilar. We have close to 10 different molecules that have been introduced in my hospital.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very impressive, this amount of biosimilars that you use in your hospital. So how did you achieve that biosimilars are so widely accepted and or even requested by your physicians in your hospital?
Yeah, the first point is that the drug and therapy committee has really a key role to play. So the politics in the hospital must be dictated by this commission, and it is very important to have a very very clear positioning of biosimilar in the institution given by the drug and therapy committee. We also tried to have some neutral expertise. So in my hospital, it was conducted by the clinical pharmacologist. So they look at the literature for each new biosimilar and produce an expert report, help which was very useful for the commission to make a decision. We also involved the consent specialist. So it means that even if you have a commission that has to make decisions, it is important to be linked to the different specialists, and we had discussion with them regarding the clinical issues, the economical aspects, what would be the gain also for their service in terms of reduction of drug cost. And we decided to go slow. So we started really progressively with one molecule at the beginning, only for new patients, and then also for patients being already with the treatment. So in the second step, we discussed about the switch, and then we increased the number of molecules. So we really started slow, and when it was okay, we decided to go a little bit faster with the number of molecules.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. So I see. So the drug and therapeutic committee has a key role in this, and it's very important to have good clinical data and show this to all the physicians, that so everybody is convinced. So how many years was this about, this change from the first biosimilar to now?
Well, the first biosimilar were introduced maybe 6 years ago.
Okay.
We started with only one molecule, then two, and we really increased these two or three last years. But it's not only dependent on our decision, but also on the molecules arriving on the market as biosimilar. We see that there is a kind of acceleration. We have more and more biologicals having their patent expired, and then it increased the number of biosimilar available on the market. So automatically, we also have now to increase the work inside the commission and make this decision. But really, the beginning of the story was really to start slow, to really test biosimilar with one molecule with a few specialists to see whether we were able to convince physicians and patients, and then now to go faster.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's important. So it's not always so easy to convince everybody. So sometimes physicians as well as patients, they hesitate to use biosimilars because they have concerns about side effects, and sometimes they think as well that they don't tolerate the biosimilar equally well as the originator. So what is your experience with tolerability and immunogenicity of biosimilars?
Well, globally, our experience corresponds to the data available in the literature. It means that globally, there is no differences between biosimilars and originators. Mm-hmm. What we see that in the discussion we have with physicians or patients, we don't have significant problems with tolerability. We have more discussion about efficacy. And for chronic treatment, there is sometimes a fear that the biosimilar could have a lower efficacy. For example, in a patient with a polyarthritis rheumatoid, they say that some patient tested the biosimilar and have the feeling that maybe the duration of the effect is lower than with the originator. Maybe there could be a nocebo effect in the literature. And we have a lot of discussion about efficacy, but we don't have so much discussion about side effects, immunogenicity, because in the practice, we really see that we don't have more problems with biosimilar in comparison with the original products.
So one question to these possible differences in efficacy, was this the impression of the patient, or did also the physician see some differences in this efficacy?
Most of the time, it's really an impression of the patients. And there are some very nice publication about it. When you try to really objectivize the evolution of the efficacy, when you really take objective criteria, there is no differences between originator and biosimilar. Nevertheless, some patients say that there is a reduction or lower efficacy. So it tends to demonstrate that it could be a nocebo effect, but of course we have to take it into consideration, because if a patient has a feeling of lower effect, we have to consider that, we have to discuss it with the patient, and maybe to let this patient come back to the original molecules.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, it's interesting. So you say globally there's no differences between originator and biosimilars, but individually we need to look, and maybe sometimes it could be.
Yeah, you know, we have to remember that that's also something arising with generics. We also have mm-hmm. some patients believing that generics are not active for them, that they feel better with the original product. So we also have exactly the same situation with generic drugs. So it's not so different with biological products.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So maybe let's look now a little bit about the communication. So on one hand, pharmacists are in contact with physicians and also with patients regarding biologicals and biosimilars. So let's first look to the communication between the pharmacist and the physician. So what are important information and arguments in a discussion with a physician about biosimilars when you want to convince him or her for the use of biosimilars?
Yeah, for physicians, it's very important to provide scientific data, and they need to have more information on biosimilars and how they are really built in the lab. They don't know very well about the power of analytical platforms that are very useful to develop biosimilars that are so close to the originator. So it's really important to explain that the products, even if they are not identical, they are really, 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 really similar and very close to the originator. It's also important because physicians like to have a demonstration in clinical trials, and it's important to explain that these molecules are developed with large clinical trials with head-to-head comparison with the originator. And most of the time when we have new drugs arriving on the market, we don't always have large scale clinical trials, and we most of the time don't have head-to-head comparison with the molecule of reference. So it's very important to explain the design and to insist that it's very different from the generics, in which we only have bioequivalent studies. So this is a very important point. And the last very important point is to explain that the biological originators can be considered as kind of biosimilars of the originators that were used in the first clinical trials, because in 10, 15, 20 years of time, the production process evolved, and all the process is quite different today as it was in the first clinical trials. So really my argument is always to say that the originators are biosimilars of the originator that were used in the clinical trials that demonstrated the efficacy and safety of these drugs. And that's a good argument most of the time. Mm-hmm. And actually we have a lot of data on efficacy, interchangeability, absence of safety problems. So all the pharmacovigilance data can help convince physicians to move forward for biosimilar. And of course, we also have to insist on the economical aspects that are the reason why we would like to use this product. Finally, what we also did was to give feedback, because when we start, you know, you discuss with the head of rheumatology, he says, okay, let's go with biosimilars, but he has many physicians in his service and he doesn't know exactly what they are doing in their daily practice. Mm-hmm. So we also built some dashboard to see the evolution of the adoption of biosimilar in their service. We give them some feedback, we discuss with them, and that was also helpful to progressively increase the level of adoption of this molecule. So mm-hmm. that's really, I would say, the action we made to try to have this discussion with physicians and to convince them to move mm-hmm. with the biosimilars. And it works.
Yeah, that's good. Sounds very good. So yeah, we know we need to be informed. We need to know what is the scientific data, what is state of the art. So that's very important before we start discussion. So it's an important area to make some educational courses.
Exactly.
Yes. So maybe let's look to another question. What are the key arguments in discussion with the patient to convince him or her from the therapy with a biosimilar? Are there some most concerns for patients coming from, and how to overcome these challenges?
Yeah, I think it's important to explain why we would like to propose biosimilars. So try to save money for the healthcare system with a similar efficacy and safety. It's important to remind that biological drugs are very costly drugs. We can also make a comparison with generic. For patients used to take some generics, it could be easy to imagine that they could also have a similar situation for biologicals. By opposition, if you have a patient already reluctant to use a generic, it will be probably difficult to convince him to use a biosimilar. We have two different situations. We have the situation of a patient starting a new treatment with the biologicals. And in this situation, it's not very complicated because the physician can prescribe the biosimilar, and most of the time the patient will agree because he doesn't have an experience with another drug. He doesn't fear to have some problem by switching a drug to the other. So that's the first situation, and it's important that the physicians take the habits to prescribe biosimilars for new patients. When the treatment is already in place, there could be a fear of imbalancing the treatment with a loss of efficacy or increase of side effects. So it's really essential to have a discussion and to have time to discuss with the patient, either physician or the nurse or the pharmacist, and really to respect the opinion of the patient, to explain what is a biosimilar in terms of clinical aspect, in terms of economical aspect, mm-hmm. To allow the patient to take some time to think about it, to give him some documentation, maybe to propose a test to say, okay, maybe you can try, and if it goes wrong, you have the possibility to come back to the biological. So that at the end of the day, it's really a question again of communication and taking the time necessary to explain to the patient what it is and to respect his opinion. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that's a very important aspect. We to respect the opinion of the patient and yeah, take the time. But I think for new therapies, that's a big chance to start with the biosimilar and not take the originator.
Exactly. Most of the time, patients do not know exactly what it is. So mm-hmm. if you as you have a biosimilar with trademark, you know, it's very easy, and it's usually patients do not refuse to start a new therapy with a biosimilar.
Yeah, because they can't compare it. They start with that. So that's a chance we need to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the first step of the biosimilar politics, to start already with the new patients. And because we know that the switch is more complicated, but to start new patient is the first step that normally should be easy to go.
Yes, that's a good point, I think. Thank you. So which process would you recommend in the situation when a patient requests an originator on prescription in a community pharmacy? So what should a pharmacist do? How can he act, or she?
Yeah, so actually pharmacists cannot substitute a biological to a biosimilar. If an original biologic product is prescribed, the discussion should maybe take place with the physician. So the question is maybe more what kind of discussion a pharmacist can have with physicians to inform the physician, to try to convince him to prescribe a biosimilar. So there is probably a role in the quality circles when they are available, and any community pharmacist could start this discussion with the physician around him. Maybe the pharmacist could also start a discussion with the patients to know a little bit if he is aware of this possibility, if the physicians discuss that with him. But of course, it's important not to discredit the physicians. So I think we should be careful with this discussion, because if the physician doesn't want, for any reasons, to use a biosimilar, I think the discussion should first take place between the physician and the pharmacist, and not between the pharmacist and the patient.
Yes, I think I have the same opinion. And I think, as you said, the role of quality circles are very important. So discussion should take place before a physician makes prescription. So he should be convinced that he should prescribe biosimilars. That this is his chance.
Again, education. In my hospital, we give several workshop on biosimilars for physicians. There is a need of education about it. So I can also imagine that the community pharmacy could propose to the physician in his area to have a discussion inside a quality circle or outside of the quality circle, but just to explain, to give the scientific data about biosimilars to help physician to make a decision about their use.
Yeah, and this is also a good chance for interprofessional work together with physicians and pharmacists, I think.
Exactly.
Good chance for us. So small molecule, so let's talk about the small molecule drugs. So small molecule drugs are exchangeable to generics since years. So we can do that in the pharmacy. So how do you see the competence and role of a pharmacist exchanging biologicals to biosimilars in future? Maybe 5-10 years or whatever.
Yeah, the European level, the EMEA just published in September 2022 a position paper claiming that biosimilars are interchangeable with the originator. So I think it's really a step that was a step forward from the EMEA, and now it's the role of the regulators in the different countries to decide whether it would be possible to allow the pharmacists to substitute us for generics. And I'm totally convinced that in the coming years it will come. I cannot say exactly when. I don't know if Switzerland will be one of the innovator or late adopter, but for sure in the coming years the pharmacists will be allowed to substitute a biosimilar. And when it will be the case, they will have an important role for the pharmacies to inform the patient, as we already discussed. It's a key point in this story of biosimilars, and also to have an accurate traceability of biologic drugs that are dispensed. So we have to exactly know which product was used by the patient. But I'm really convinced that maybe, I don't know, if I had to bet, I would say maybe in 5 years. I don't know. Let's see in 5 years if I'm right or not, but I would say maybe in 5 years, the world has changed. I have the feeling to be in a very similar situation as it was for generic maybe 20 years ago. There were reluctance. There was a need for information from scientific data. We had the need to have more evidence that there was no problem. And we are actually living exactly the same with biosimilars. And I can imagine that regarding the the substitution by the pharmacist, we will also have this possibility in the coming years.
Yes, these are very interesting aspects, and we will see what happens the next years. Maybe we can have a talk in a similar way again in 5 years and see what will be the situation then, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes. So we are nearly at the end of our discussion. So finally, can we please summarize in a few sentences the most important points from your point of view regarding biosimilars and how we could speed up the use of biosimilars in practice?
Yeah. So I would first say that it is really an economic issue. The cost of biological drug is very high, and it's more and more heavy in the healthcare system because we have more and more biological drugs that are very costly. So it's very important to push this issue to try to save some money in the healthcare system. It's important to remember that the development of biosimilars combines high-level analytical platform to really develop very similar products and large-scale head-to-head clinical trials. So we have really good, very good guarantees that the products are very similar. We also have more than 10 years of experience in Europe, and we see that we have no problem. We have no significant signals in the pharmacovigilance declaration system. And now we have really tons of patients that receive these drugs. The importance of discussion with physicians, importance of education, importance of discussion with patients, to involve patients in the decisions, and really to explain to the patients what are the challenges in terms of clinical and economical aspects. And last but not least, adoption take time. So I know that some hospitals have maybe lower rate of adoption, but that's not a problem. The most important is that we all move forward, we all work to do a better and better every day, and we have to put energy to convince physicians, to convince patients. We have to take time, and the return on investment is very good because you take time, but at the end you have really important saving in your drug count. And so it's very important in terms of quality of care and in terms of efficiency and of rationality of drug use. That's the key points I would like to finish with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very interesting points. And we see it's on one hand an economic issue, and on the other hand an interprofessional issue. We can do it together, and we as pharmacists should take this chance to work as a part of this area. So thank you very much for this interesting discussion. You, Paul, pointed out some important aspects for our daily work. So we hope this will help in future to use more biosimilars and you do reduce the costs for all these therapies. Thanks a lot, Mr. Bonavri.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, ich hoffe, dass Sie das Gespräch mit Professor Pascal Bonavri aktiv und interessiert verfolgt haben und wichtige Punkte zum Thema Biosimilars für Ihre alltägliche Arbeit mitnehmen können. Wir haben gehört, dass Biosimilars eine riesige Chance für uns sind und wir durch den vermehrten Einsatz einen wichtigen Beitrag dazu leisten können, um unsere Gesundheitskosten in einem gewissen Maß etwas dämpfen zu können. Es ist wichtig, dass wir Apothekerinnen und Apotheker gut informiert sind, up to date sind, und aus diesem Grund hat die ACFAM einen Lehrgang zum Thema Biologika und Biosimilars entwickelt, wo in verschiedenen Modulen wichtige Aspekte zu diesem Themengebiet diskutiert werden. Neben einem Grundlagenmodul gibt es wieder weitere Module, wo das Thema Biologika in der Rheumatologie, Gastroenterologie, Dermatologie und Asthma und auch in der Neurologie detailliert mit Spezialisten besprochen wird. Weitere Informationen zu diesen Kursen finden Sie auf der ACFAM Bildungsplattform und können sich bei Fragen gerne auch mit uns in Verbindung setzen. Wir würden uns freuen, Sie bald an einem Kurs begrüßen zu dürfen. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis bald.